absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturellisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 231 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural, in which we are going to hear about Auroville, an experimental international township in the south of India. This interpersonal and intercultural experiment was founded exactly 50 years ago in 1968 by Mira Alfasa, also known as The Mother. The UNESCO recognizes Auroville as an international cultural township designed to bring together the values of different cultures and civilizations in a harmonious environment. Now, this colorful community is still going strong and nowadays counts more than 2,500 inhabitants who are called Aurovillians. My name is Laurent Bachmann and I will guide you through our show today, as I was lucky enough to visit Auroville last Christmas during the break of a winter school where I was teaching at our partner university in India. By the way, we have a new editor, Mariana Castro, who is an exchange student from our new partner university in Lisbon, in Portugal, but she is originally from Brazil. Welcome, Mariana. In our first category today, absolutely spiritual, Noel Parent, an Aurovillian who is originally from the United States, will talk about his intercultural and spiritual journey to give us some detailed impressions about life in Auroville and what he enjoys most about this magic place.
Moments, but always for me the most powerful is this sort of inner transformation, the things that you notice inside yourself that change.
In our second category, absolutely peaceful, our German student Lukas Bolten, who is currently studying a semester abroad at our partner university, the Indian Institute of Technology, Madras in India, will talk about his experience as a guest visitor in Auroville.
Yeah, it is like a special town with a lot of nationalities which living there together in peace and don't have that influence from the outside of the world.
In our last category, absolutely educational, we will return to Noel Parent, our partner from the first interview. As a member of Auroville, he will talk about the educational system and the importance of learning by doing in Auroville. He also explains the attitude towards mistakes in Auroville. Noel Parent is currently working on building a Japanese garden with other Aurovillians, and he will share his own learning process with us.
Actually, in Auroville, education happens through all aspects of life, all experiences.
Okay.
So your whole life is an opportunity to learn and to grow.
Wow.
But now let us start with the show. Today, we will try to get a glimpse of a community which was founded exactly 50 years ago. When you look at the principles which any visitor can observe in the township in the south of India, they probably seem more topical today than they would have half a century ago. For example, dialogue among civilizations, cultures, and religions, cultural diversity and culture as a factor for development, poverty eradication, quality education and lifelong learning, and renewable energies. All this sounds like the catalogue of priorities and concerns of modern life as it presents itself in many parts of the world. In our first category, absolutely spiritual, a member of the Auroville community, Noel Parent, will share his experience of Auroville, which he sees as his new home. He experiences the other world outside Auroville as a very different place in every aspect. However, we also learn that the community faces the same challenges, such as decision-making, hierarchy, and resolving problems inside this microcosm of Auroville, but tries to deal with them in a more consensual manner.
Well, if you came to Auroville, you expect, of course, you hear, you can read a lot and you hear a lot of things, and you expect maybe it's more perfect than the outside world, and you have a utopian kind of, a lot of people come with that sort of idea, it's a utopia, and it's, but in reality, we have just as much of the outside world problems, just on a smaller scale. So it can be frustrating. You can get disappointed by the fact that, well,
the meetings are not so different from meetings
sometimes get conflict and yes. We get disagreement, but at the same time you realize, you know, the mother who started this place said specifically this will be a place where all the world's problems will be represented in a microcosm, and you have to find a new way to work it out without all of old rules, laws, all of this. Yes. It's a process and it's a dance in some ways, yes. But it can be frustrating because you want to move forward. And, you know, here there's no specific, this is the leader and who makes decisions.
And
you
I have can imagine to do that, it. That might make it even more daunting because I know in my work as a civil servant, for example, you can always blame the government that you cannot do things. As here you don't have that. You cannot blame it on a president or something. if you don't get your Japanese garden right, then there is no outside party to blame. To blame
it's on everyone basically. Yes. It's on all of us. We do have groups that are like, we call it working committee, the council, and they are selected to some degree. I mean, you can call it still democracy, more consensus, that kind of thing. But, you know, even that is still imperfect, and you have, can blame those groups, and they do get blamed a lot. Yes. But at the same time, you're still responsible in yourself to take up. If there's a problem, then there's no more about just complaining. It's about taking the work up and doing yourself or being involved to help change it, because otherwise it will continue just going in the
circle. What are the best moments at Oroville? When do you think, oh my god, that was the best decision in my whole life to pack up and go to Oroville?
Well, for me, it's just the energy of the place. You know, it's being able to go into the Matra Mandir also, which has quite a strong force and power, spiritual energy there that is really supporting the whole community. And it's that, it seems like if you want something, when I sort of saw, like, okay, I want to work in the gardens, and I worked in Matra Mandir Gardens for some time, then you see at times that things just fall into place when it's meant to happen. And it happens very quickly here. It's like a magical process where if something's meant to happen, it starts to happen.
Yeah, it connects. People make it happen.
And so for me, that is the kind of experience, is that, okay, when it's really meant to be, like this garden, for example, I start with nothing. You don't know, you don't have any money. You just sort of start with your energy, and then so things started to come, even the sort of donated stuff, a little bit of money, and it sort of gives you the impetus, the catalyst to sort of move forward. So these are powerful moments, but always for me the most powerful is this sort of inner transformation, the things that you notice inside yourself that change over time. We're moving forward. Even if it looks like the whole world and other things in your life are not moving forward or progressing or going backwards, you still know, okay, something is still moving forward and making progress on another inner level, and that eventually it will be realized in the outer world also, but that takes so much more time and energy that you have to be patient for.
I don't know about you, but when I hear Noel speak with such enthusiasm about how he tries to create a Japanese garden from nothing, starting with a strong will and a very high energy level, this makes me a little envious of his life and his work. Maybe we can all learn from his approach, or at least support people like Noel who make things happen. So after listening to a real Orovillian who lives and works in this magic place, we will now change perspectives for our second category, absolutely peaceful. Lucas Bolton, one of the three exchange students who are currently doing a semester abroad in India, will share his experience as an outsider when he visited Oroville for a day as a visitor. I asked him how he found out about this intercultural place called Oroville.
So we have some buddies there, and they told us we should go there, and they planned a weekend trip to Pondicherry, so we went to Oroville as well. They describe it as a really magical place. It is near Pondicherry, so I'm starting in Chennai, so from Chennai to Pondicherry it's like 150 kilometers.
So when you arrived, did your minibus drive you directly into Oroville?
No, there's like a parking lot next to it, so you still need like, it was like 50-minute walk to get there.
Okay.
But then it was quite nice because there was like some shops and some boutiques and some museums, so you get a lot of information. And then we went like to the meditation hall. So it was quite like...
To the big hall in the center?
Yeah.
Okay. And the rest of Oroville, how would you describe that? What is it? What is Oroville?
It is like a special town with a lot of nationalities which living there together in peace and don't have that influence from the outside of the world. So they try to work for themselves, to eat for themselves, produce everything for themselves. Magical town. The people are feeling really peaceful and it was like a magical spirit there. It feels really normal for them, so you feel really like it's another planet, for example.
Now, what about you? Did you think I would also like to spend a little bit of time here?
Some other students from my university, which went there, like, for example, for a week to do some week meditation. Maybe going there for a week or for a weekend, I think it's really good to find yourself, to get a little bit relaxed, to shut down from the other things around you. To find yourself, it's really a good place, but to live there or to stay there the whole life, quite hard to imagine, I think.
Okay. Do you know what the mission is or what they want to achieve with this?
Yeah, actually they did. I took some notes, so I can read it. Oroville wants to be a universal town where men and women of all countries are able to live in peace and progressive harmony above all creeds, all politics and all nationalities. The purpose of Oroville is to realize human unity.
Now, you don't strike me as somebody who falls in love with ideas like that straight away. But if somebody is interested in working there, in meditating a little longer, in working in the community there, how could they get in touch? So what are the ways to get in there?
To get in Oroville, I think the best thing, first of all, is to visit this place because, like, there's a lot of information given how you can participate, for example, on a seminar or can participate for 1 week there to stay there. So this is the best way, actually, to go there, to ask the people because they're friendly, they're happy to help, and they also want to believe and want to believe that you want to stay there longer. So they want to make you to stay there, for example, for a weekend to find yourself again.
I think we should follow Luca's advice, show some interest in this intercultural community and find out what happens with people who embark on a more consensual, peaceful and sustainable life journey. At the end of this episode and on our webpage, we will point you to some ways how you can get involved without actually going to India. Now let us listen to our last category, absolutely educational. Noel, who we listened to in our first interview, now talks about formal and informal education in Oroville and how the attitude to learning may differ from the educational systems we are used to in our own countries. I asked Noel how education is organized in Oroville and about the role of mistakes in our learning process.
First thing to say is that actually in Oroville, education happens through all aspects of life, all experiences.
Okay.
So it's not meant to be that you go to school and that's where your education happens.
You know, penetrates your whole life.
Your whole life is an opportunity to learn and to grow.
Wow.
And it's not meant to be where you only learn in a specific school building where you go to learn.
Right.
So there's a lot of flexibility. There's a lot of alternative experiments going on. So they're not all the same, actually.
Right.
Some of one school will have one approach. And, for example, one of them does a little bit of Montessori style, but with their own flair. And then another school goes the more traditional route because there are some students, like when you get to the older levels, they still want to have the certificate.
Yes.
So that they can go on to university and explore different things outside. So they give them that opportunity if they want, mm-hmm. but it's not something that's forced upon them. What is discussed as free progress education or also integral education, where you include all aspects of the person, the being. So the mind, the body, the emotional being, the soul, the spirit, all of that is being explored on one level or another in different ways.
I'm thinking of a mathematics class.
Sure.
So how do you get these different aspects into the learning of biology, or do you have an example how you could say how this is more integrated than in a traditional school?
I can't speak specifically how they do it here, but I think the idea is first to become more conscious within. So that means incorporating meditation, that silence, that quietness, which if you speak to a lot of the geniuses in the history of the world, the sort of genius realization comes in a moment of silence, quietness, not when they're busy. And so it's about incorporating that into their state of being, and then through their activity or learning, whatever, then they are more easily able to immerse themselves into that and to learn from it. Well, if you're interested in, for example, biology, then you're going out into the farms and the gardens and experiencing with the earth, having more of these experiences at the same time.
How about when you are already working? You said this is almost like lifelong learning. How does the learning penetrate your work life? Could you say something about your own learning process?
So for me, learning is not just about the mental knowledge. It's also about just learning by doing. So if you go to a garden, and even if you have nobody to teach you, if you interact with the environment and you just start playing with nature, you're going to learn something in that way. You're going to grow in some way. And so for me, that's part of what I've been doing. I didn't have a professional certificate or education in gardening or horticulture when I came. I just decided this is what I wanted to experience, and I had no knowledge of plants or gardening. So I just learn as I grow.
And how does the learning happen? So you work with somebody who knows a little bit more, or is it that you are allowed to make more mistakes and this is how you learn?
It's a little bit of everything. It's both. You have some people who have been here for a long time, so they know much more and they can guide you if you want. But it's also, at times, they just say, look, just go. And it was just about doing.
Out there in what we like to call the real world, of course, we are terribly worried about mistakes all the time. And we, particularly as a German, I have sort of three safeguards that keep me from making mistakes. But now you're saying that maybe these mistakes are part of the learning process. Do you think they're good for the individual, for your individual development, or do you think that they are good for the product? For example, is that important for making you a better person, or is it good for making a good Japanese garden?
I mean, there's many layers to what we call mistake. Obviously, if you know better, you don't want to just intentionally make a mistake and just for the sake.
Yes.
But there is something about a mistake being an opportunity. I mean, if you look around, everything that exists now was once a mistake. It happened through a mistake.
Okay.
So we create this system of education where we think we have to put it in the mind first, translate into action. But at some point in history, someone was actually exploring that naturally with the matter, with material, with products, or whatever it was.
Then
they were
we
exploring
a mistake
it.
And we created and, schools.
And so to some degree, we've taken out a little bit of the natural aspects of learning.
It's like
about
pendulum.
A balance between the two. I mean, we want to use the mind, obviously. It's not about getting rid of all of that, but it's about incorporating all of these layers, which is including the body. You know, their body has a consciousness too, and knowledge is the ability to do something. So the mind is certainly involved, but sometimes the body also naturally can be capable of something without the mind thinking or telling or instructing it to do. It has a natural capacity, and that capacity comes out the more you explore your physical world. You know, with education in Oroville, it's about each child is a unique individual, a unique soul who's bringing something into the world. Even if they don't want to learn to read at age 4 or 5, it eventually, the life around them naturally gears them towards, oh, okay, now I know I want to learn that because I'd like to explore this or this. And so it's just a slightly different approach. It's not that everybody has to be taught at the same level at the same time. It's about allowing children to explore themselves inwardly and outwardly in their own unique way. And that takes a lot more patience and a lot more energy and a lot more people, teachers who are willing to sort of let go of, and not just teachers, but a whole system that needs to let go of expecting children to be what they think they should be, or what humans should be, what they think they should be, and allow something new to come out.
Wow, the way Noel describes the Orovillian attitude to learning, I would like to become a teacher in this system, which is both innovative, but also very challenging. if you aim to let every individual choose their own paths, while everywhere else in the world, society and education seem to force or forge people's lives in much the same way. It is telling how Noel got interested in the idea of experiential and lifelong learning since he started his own learning journey working in the Japanese garden. I love it how passionate he seems to have grown about the whole idea of learning. As you heard in the interview with Noel Parent, he's working on a Japanese garden in Oroville. And if you would like to find out more about his work or ways how you can support his efforts with advice or with other contributions, please go to our website at absolutely-intercultural.com and get in touch with him. I'm sure you will find him as fascinating as I did. On our website, we will also show you videos about his project. Thank you to all our guests and listeners who joined us for today's show. So what about you? What do you think about Oroville? Could you imagine giving up your current lifestyle and living in this community? Or could you imagine to do a little internship there for a couple of weeks or a long meditation weekend? How about joining Noel in creating the Japanese garden, for example? Let us know on our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. Here you can get more information about this and previous episodes. And if you liked our show, please like us on Facebook too. By the way, did you know that we are also on iTunes? You can subscribe to us there for free and give us a rating and a comment. I have a feeling this could be good for your karma. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 2nd of November. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Vollständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.